Oh, spoiler alert, sorry.
Hey, yeah, spoilers for all those of you who haven't read or watched Harry Potter yet. It's only 15 years old at this point.
Yeah, John, you just ruined, like, thousands of children's lives.
Like, you, you're for more maybe a broad set of impeachment articles instead of a narrow, absolutely, like, let's just keep it to Ukraine. Yeah.
I think that this is an exemplary moment, and we need to take advantage of it. What up, world? Welcome to the Amer Podcast, episode 99.
Yeah.
Oh, on December 9th of 2019, too. I just realized that. Hey. Oh.
Damn! 9-9, guys. Wow.
That's right. We're getting close. We're getting close to the big triple digits.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've gotten a little bit better over 99 episodes.
I would hope so.
Just a little bit.
I hope so. You guys, fun fact. There's only two league-wide retired numbers in North American sports. Number 42, Jackie Robinson for the MLB. And number 99,
yes,
Wayne Gretzky.
That's right.
In the NHL. Fun fact for y'all on episode number 99. You see that? It was a hockey fact and a hockey jersey number and a fun fact. It was super meta to take us out of the double digits. So now I can't do the jersey numbers anymore. Shablam!
All yeah, right.
I mean, punctuation on the double digits.
Mm-hmm. Is it even worth having a pod anymore? John, you
no,
did
we're
it.
Done.
Congratulations.
Pack yeah, it up.
John's going to have to change sports.
Yeah, what if we just quit now? What a time to leave.
I'm out, man. I'm retired.
I'm retired.
But contrary to what you all might think, we are going to talk about politics today. You thought we would just go on and on about number 99. Also possible.
I'm lobbying for it.
Anything's possible with this crew. Anything is possible.
You know how we're like sort of on the doorstep of nuclear war, possibly? 99 red balloons. That's another
ooh,
99 for you guys.
Oh, no. That got morbid fast.
What's your favorite version?
The German.
I mean,
the original German.
Yeah, the original, obviously.
Wait, I don't know. Really? I kind of like the Goldfinger version.
I was going to say, you like the Goldfinger version?
Yeah.
Oh, the Goldfinger version's good, too.
Wait.
I like it, too.
Really? Your guys' favorite version is the... Sorry, never mind.
If you can somehow start tying this podcast to punk rock music, you might have me.
Oh,
ooh, that might,
okay.
On
maybe
that
that's
note,
the new,
I can do that.
Yeah, that'll be the new theme.
On that note, today is December 9th, 2019, and it's true. We're recording this podcast at 6:58 p.m. For those of you listening in the future, we've got the OG crew on board tonight. That means in the mountains, John Anderson. What up, my dude?
What up? How are you guys?
Doing well. Doing well. John Kelly.
Yeah,
John Kelly.
Yeah, great.
Down here in Denver with moi. Hello, sir. How are you this evening?
Yeah, howdy. Not right next to you, but I guess close mm-hmm, enough via mm-hmm, phone. Mm-hmm. I'm doing well, Blake.
Within grandmother's house distance. And on our West Coast this evening, Tyler Grillo. Hello, sir. How's it going?
Hello, hello. Glad to be with you all.
So, we have episode 99 this evening. We are very close to 100. We're trying to think of exciting things to do for y'all, and we come up with them. That's not the problem. The issue is current events. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem
Trump
is everybody else.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We're sorry we have
cool
to be here again.
We got cool shit planned, yeah. But you know what? It's things to look forward to for our triple digit pod.
That's right.
Could it be the tech talk? Maybe. Is that what we're going to do for 100?
Bring it back.
Wow.
Bring it back. Oh, I don't know if it's going to happen for 100. We might be partying too hard for a tech talk. I want to give that the time it deserves.
The tech talk will be never. It will just be an ongoing...
No, don't tell them about the bit. Don't tell them about the bit.
Postponed again due to current events. But today... Today, let's start with updates on the impeachment of the Trump administration, or Donald Trump himself. And actually, by the end of it, well, it might his whole administration.
Yeah, it should be everybody.
Yep. Pretty much.
It might be all of them.
Yep.
It might be all of them.
Top to bottom.
Except for Fiona Hill, because she's our queen.
Anderson, you came up with the question pre-pod.
So first, I think, let's take a step back real quick and just do a little bit like of nuts and bolts about where we are here. So we were presented information in the Intelligence Committee run by Adam Schiff about the Ukraine scandal, broadly defined. Now it has moved to the Judiciary Committee run by Jerry Nadler, and we are now essentially in the writing of the articles of impeachment phase of this whole process. So there's been kind of this running debate throughout since the Ukraine scandal broke and it became fairly obvious that he was going to get impeached, which is how narrow should we make these articles of impeachment? So, for example, should obstruction be included? Now, we could even add Donald Trump threatened via Twitter or intimidated via Twitter one of the witnesses while they were testifying, and then that came up during the committee hearing in real time, which is a bonkers thing to have happen, and it's just a 2019 kind of thing. So that could be added to obstruction. You could also add a whole bunch of other shit in there, like emoluments or other abuses of power, as we've seen throughout the administration. So, you know, there's one argument to say, let's just throw the fucking kitchen sink at him because all of this is impeachable, and let's just give him, like, you know, 85 articles of impeachment and fuck this guy. And then there's another article, or there's another camp of thinking, which is the American people are sick and fucking tired of this. They don't follow these things very well. That was a fundamental problem with the Mueller investigation and why it never gained traction. So let's just keep this narrow and uncomplicated so that the American people get it and we can just move forward with that. And that would be the Ukraine scandal, which is pretty fucking uncomplicated. So I'm curious what y'all think about that and like where y'all come down on that.
I think that I would prefer them to just write it all down and send it all as one big long articles of impeachment, many of them. I'd like to see that. It'd be interesting politically. It'd be interesting historically to be like, that's the precedent that's now set in terms of articles of impeachment, because I mean, he would hold the record, I think, for quite some time. Though, let's maybe not stroke
his articles of impeachment.
Yeah, maybe not stroke his ego on that much. But I think that it's probably better for the nation and better for the actual impeachment to succeed for it to be narrow and to be very focused. I think that has the best chance of getting moderate voters to start to turn and potentially some Republicans in the base to turn. And that's the best chance of it going anywhere in the Senate, is to have it be very narrow. So that's where I sit.
Nice. Yep. I feel that. I mean, I think that ultimately the narrower way is the way to go for that very reason. Cause like it's also, if you you know, just throw everything at him, it's really going to feed into the like witch hunt narrative, which is always funny.
I actually agree. I think that's a good point.
Yeah. So, but I also think, like, is there like some sort of a compromise? Like, what if there were like five solid things or four solid things, you know, like at least give it in case they find some little loophole or something with one of them, you know, and if they could be related, right? If they could all be foreign policy, really, like, you know, are there, I mean, obviously you can't wait around and make up these things, but what else can you say? Other foreign leaders, other interactions? I mean, like pulling out of certain things. None of these things are like illegal, but like, right, yeah, I guess with Russia ties, right? Like you could go with other.
I would like to see the emoluments thrown in for sure.
Because I
think that's pretty clear cut. But
I think I agree with you guys. I think the general consensus is probably the correct tactical decision to make it narrow. However, let me play some devil's advocate for you, which I think my point that I was going to make.
That's supposed to be my job, John.
Sorry.
That's supposed to be my job.
But yeah, I like this.
What are you doing? Website.
No.
That's true. El Diablo. Okay. So that discussion you guys had was interesting, right? Because like, oh, well, I would like to see this from the menu of possible impeachment articles. Well, I would like to see this from the menu, you know, right? And so maybe you give the same menu options to members of Congress, right? And you say, oh, you don't like use some obstruction? What about some traitor? How about that? You don't like that? What about some bribery? Do you like that? Does that tickle you fancy? And so you hit Republicans. So you can make the opposite argument and you say, maybe this makes it harder for Republicans because you can go out and you can say, Republicans are for bribery. They're for treachery. They're for obstruction. They're for all of these things because they voted against all that shit and we know that shit happened because fucking you saw it on television during all of these hearings and during the last 3 years. So you throw emoluments in there too. And then you make a broader corruption kind of thing. You just throw it against the wall. So what do you guys think about that? Bah! Coming at you.
I mean,
if you are voluntarily or knowingly, consciously or unconsciously perpetuating the cycle of corruption and bullshit, I think you should absolutely be charged or tried for your crimes and your participation in perpetuating the bullshit.
So you, it's like true. you're for more maybe a broad set of impeachment articles instead of a narrow, like, let's just keep it to Ukraine.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that this is an exemplary moment and we need to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do think it is an exemplary moment for sure. This is unprecedented. For sure. I think that's very interesting, John, the idea of shopping it around to different members of the House to see what they think would be the best to put in there. Because it'd be just interesting to see where everybody comes down, even in the Democratic Party, on what should be impeachable and what shouldn't be. That's just an interesting study in political science in general.
Can I give you a historical example of that?
Yes, please.
Are you ready for this? This is going to be very, very top of mind for everybody. The omnibus bill of 1850, led by Henry Clay. The compromise of 1850. He originally tried to get it through as a package, and everybody hated it. So he split it up into different parts, and then everybody was able to vote for or against their different parts, and that ended up passing all of the package, except it was in individual components. So we do have a large historical context for this. Unfortunately, you know, 11 years later, we were embroiled in a civil war, but over the same subject. Right. And that's fine.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead, Blake.
Can breaking down the components, can one of the components be Donald Trump's dick in a box?
Oh my God, that is one of the components.
I don't know if we can connect that to an article of impeachment. I mean, maybe you just say like...
Oh, okay, I just thought I'd ask.
You could say general bad conduct towards women. That's
Melania hasn't testified yet, so I don't think they can put that one forward.
Yeah, this is getting uncomfortable.
What I will say, John, I love the historical context. I think it's a good example. I don't know if articles of impeachment can work that way, though, because doesn't it have to come out at one time? It can't be kind of piecemealed together like different bills coming out of the House.
No, I think. Well, yeah. I mean,
it gets a little murky since it's not really written impeachment's supposed to work. So.
Yeah,
well, I think ultimately what you would do is you would say, because, I think there's going to be one vote on it, right? There's not going to be seven votes on each article. And so, but I think what you do is you say, okay, so you don't agree, conservative Democrat, with six of these seven articles of impeachment. You do agree with one of the seven, though. And so if you agree with one article of impeachment, don't you have to vote yes by order of your oath to the Constitution?
I don't.
And
I mean, so I would hope that they argument. Would, but I don't think they would. See, I take the opposite view that I think that they would go, oh, there's seven. I disagree with six. So six outweighs the one. I'm not voting for it.
Right.
Right. And then, I think you have to go member by member. And so you'll just have to, Pelosi will have to do the count. I think that's ultimately where you have to come down on the broad or narrow question.
It'd be like, right?
Like at the numbers.
Out of these seven, which do you agree with? And then that's the only answers they get to put in.
Yeah. That's true.
Because technically they are means for impeachment. So.
Well, I actually think that there's like also strategy, which, you know, so skillful, episode 99, watch it happen, is in relation to the election also. Because you have to think about...
Yeah, baby.
Did it transition.
Get that transition.
There it is.
Get that transition.
I'm in it. So then you have to really start to consider, I think, if you're the House Democrats, well, if we throw the whole kitchen sink at them, isn't that then going to extend this process and it's going to go into further into the election? And do we want that? Is that strategic or do we not? You know, and now we still have a lot going on in the election itself, like Bloomberg entering and Kamala Harris dropping out. And
Bloomberg on my farm team. I'm calling him up.
Yeah.
John, I think you picked him in the initial draft, in the original one, and then you left him off your second because he hadn't announced yet.
No, but don't worry about that. He's on my farm team because nobody drafted him. Yeah. He made up that rule just now.
No, see, you cut him and nobody picked him off waivers, so he's just sitting in the free agency pool. That's how that works in fantasy.
He's a free agency. We need to redraft.
Yeah.
Yeah. So transition. Bloomberg is now in the race. Kamala has left.
Yeah. Sorry, Blake.
Yeah. Bummer. We have dropped.
I'm not gonna lie. I was sad, but I was expecting it.
Yeah. She just never gained traction, which is weird because, you know. I guess that's probably explainable.
It's the same way with Booker nationally never gaining traction.
Yeah. Weird.
Still hasn't really.
I do love me some Cory Booker. But yeah, so Kamala drops out. She didn't have a very large share of the vote anyways, so it's not very consequential to the race in terms of that. It is disappointing to see that we are adding a billionaire and dropping a woman of color in a party whose backbone is women of color. That is terribly unfortunate. I think the race is worse off for that generally. I did see her tweet though, which was so good. She dunked on Donald Trump. She, tweeted that she left the race and Donald Trump was like, oh, too bad. And she was like, don't worry, I'll see you at your trial. I was like, yes, yes, dunk on him. Oh, it was awesome.
I really like Kamala Harris.
I do too, man. I guess the postmortem is like she was a woman of color, so she's not gonna get the like Biden wing. And then I think that a lot of liberals had a problem with her like AG actions, and so I think she's just getting it from both sides and could never find a constituency, which is really a bummer because I think she would have done really well as an executive and running against Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would have been very, if she could have figured out a way to win the Democratic ticket, they would have been very entertaining debates between her and Donald Trump.
She would have stomped on him. And then I think you make it an all lady ticket and you get Warren as the VP and you get the brain and the brawn. And we have a very solid governing team going into 2021 to fix this fucking nonsense that Donald Trump is spraying all over the country. But we're not going to have that.
Not going to have that. Instead, you might have Michael Bloomberg, which at best is a moderate Democrat.
Yeah.
Yeah, at best.
So not exciting. I just want to say I think, John, you're totally right. The race is worse off for her dropping out. Mm-hmm. And wish she would have got more time to speak to, you know, the choices she had made. I was saying that all through the pod. I was like, I hope she speaks to, and she did at some, but like, she just never got far enough in the race where there's enough airtime, you know?
It's tough, man. So it's really tough. When you have that many people running that early, it's real tough to get messages across.
It's nuts. Totally.
It also felt so inside baseball with the Democratic Party that it was never like a national conversation. It felt to me like it was one of those conversations that happened. Like, we talked about it when we were at the Jersey Shore on the beach or whatever, but I felt like we didn't talk about it a lot on the pod. I didn't have a lot of cover. I mean, Tyler, you mentioned it, but like, I feel like it wasn't a huge topic. I don't see it mentioned a lot on national conversation or anything like that. I think it was one of those things that boiled under the surface, if that you can boil under the surface, simmered under the surface. in you know, Democratic activist circles like ours. And so it just was never enough to come out and address. And I don't think she could do much, because like, what are you going to do against that kind of thing? You know, I think most people's opinions were made up about either they didn't care or they cared, and the past was the past. So
it's true. It's true. And now we get to be excited with someone who's just going to literally throw money at us and be like, I should be president. I should be president.
I mean,
it's going to be awesome.
I mean, I read the reports about his starting media blitz, right? In terms of the amount of money that he was supposedly throwing towards starting a media campaign to announce his presidency. And, you know, I expected to see a few Bloomberg ads here and there, but there have been a lot already. You know,
where have you been seeing?
I mean, I don't have cable. I just have like the old rabbit ears antenna, so I just get like, you know, CBS and ABC. And I felt like this weekend he had one. Every third or fourth commercial was a Bloomberg commercial, which I mean, that's a lot of money to spend on that stuff.
Yeah. Do we have any idea what his social ad buy is?
It's also very large.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
I know from people who worked that it fucked up the whole pricing system inside of social media ad buys. Like all social media ads spiked because he bought so much at once.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the ROI. No, that's so funny. I was listening to Dan Pfeiffer, who's one of the Pod Save America guys, who was an Obama like deputy chief of staff, I think, and he was basically like, any congressional Democrat or basically any Democrat period who's spending money advertising on television, tell them to fucking stop it right the fuck now and spin it on the internet, because the ROI is. And like, I see this in my own like private sector shit, where we're like, okay, you have no idea. Well, anyways, I don't need to get into any of that. Anyways, the ROI on TV is so much less than it is on the internet because of tracking and ability to target and shit like that. So
that's a good point.
It's some okay boomer kind of marketing nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. No, I was going to argue the same thing, that the net gain for the Democrats is so much better on the internet than it is on TV, just because of the demographic that uses it often, right? That's what we're talking about, is that you use the internet, and the majority of people that Democrats can really pick up in this election are young people, you know, people that are just voting for the first time, or it's the first time they're going to be in a presidential election. Millennials overwhelmingly turn towards the Democratic Party, but you got to get them out and actually get them to vote, which is a difficult issue.
Well, and on the flip side, the you know, conservative Trump is absolutely beating the fuck out of the entire Democratic Party right now in terms of his social ad buy, especially on Facebook. If you look at like pivotal, you know, impeachment hearing stuff, the top 10 shares on Facebook are like from Donald Trump, Donald Trump, Ben Shapiro, Ben Shapiro, Donald Trump, Fox News, Fox News, Fox and Friends.
Right.
It's crazy. Whoa. And then there's like, it's crazy. Oh, no. And so we also,
that's a lot of younger people have turned away from Facebook and aren't using it.
Yeah, no,
so now it's just a bunch of old people on there sharing conspiracy theory stories.
It's like,
that's all you get.
That's why I'm saying we just need to like, I think one of the things we should all do as a country, when we have this like constitutional amendment, I would love to do over fixing our election. One of the things we shouldn't include in that, but we should all just kind of have like a side agreement on, is that we just end Facebook. Like we tried it, didn't work. Just we're all gonna end. Just stop. Yeah. Just everybody stops now. It's like prohibition, but for Facebook, and it works, and it is actually yeah, but
then,
successful.
Then MySpace
what if,
is going
to... What if you had to go through a...
MySpace! Bring it back, baby!
Bring back MySpace.
MySpace is going to take over, man.
Yeah, get on that. I mean, you guys, how annoying would it be, though, if, like, this is, like, the final, like, boomer resurgence where they, like, all come out and vote for fucking Bloomberg or, you know, or Biden, for that matter?
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, in just about every other aspect of their life, they're not relinquishing any sort of control until they're all falling off the face of the planet.
That's true.
That would be interesting.
It wouldn't be surprising. They are, number-wise, they should be outvoted by just about every other generation. Yeah. But a lot of people don't vote in those generations. So.
Yeah. What are we going to do?
I have a feeling this youngest generation is going to be a voting generation with all the gun activism that's been happening and the environmental
and climate activism.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, climate activism.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to come out to vote,
or they're just going to be living in the aftermath of the apocalypse. So, and there's not going to be governments, and they're going to have to create them. And then, so you know,
have you guys?
We'll see.
You guys seen those memes that are going around where it's like millennials saying like. Better watch out, boomers. We're coming for you. Boomers are like, bring it on. It's like Generation X is like drinking whiskey and laughing.
No.
Like Generation Z is like, no, we will literally eat you.
That's great. That's what I'm talking about.
I think they will.
They're going to come out to vote.
Those motherfuckers.
I know, the youngins now.
I like it. We had some radical ideas when we were their age.
Yeah, bring it. Yeah, let's do it.
Do you guys remember?
Yep.
The party. It's not that radical, but there was other parts.
Or
of that
fighting
platform.
The good fight against George Bush when nobody else was in high school.
That's right. You know, it was just which was all just preparation for now.
Yep.
It was like this is like the school version.
Yeah, that day I felt after George Bush was reelected is kind of how I feel every day during the Trump administration.
Yeah. It's so real.
Like book 4 versus book 8 of Harry Potter.
Oh yeah, it really is. It's just like there's some like shit a brewing, and then it's like, oh yeah, people you love die. Turns out also
whoops.
Yeah. Very sad. I was just about to do a spoiler, which might.
Spoiler alert! Sorry.
Hey, yeah, spoilers for all those of you who haven't read or watched Harry Potter yet.
You've ruined thousands of children's lives because there's going to be kids in the future who haven't seen it and listening to our podcast. And
right, as infant children with pacifiers in their mouth.
That's
infant
right.
Children.
Children, you're ruining babies' lives, John.
I apologize. It turns out that reading Harry Potter was just like an instruction manual for today. One of the two things I did after Donald Trump was elected was I rewatched all of The West Wing, and I reread Harry Potter.
There you go.
Those are comforting for your soul for sure.
And they're like in some amount like, well, especially Harry Potter, I feel like is preparation. Speaking of book 5, 6,
well,
and
also,
7.
Yeah, 5, 6, 7 and maybe 3. Also, you know, we can take this opportunity while we're giving spoilers to also give some future inklings of what's coming for episode 100.
Yes.
We're ending it because I was able to make the Wayne Gretzky reference. We're
That's
done.
It. Sorry.
Shut it down. We're done.
Shut it down.
Yeah. We solved everything.
Yeah.
We solved everything.
We're gonna do a little retrospective. We're gonna do a little prediction. Yeah,
retropod,
a little projection. Some projection in there too. Should be fun.
Best and worst. Scariest, funniest, horrific, and somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
I think scariest, funniest.
I don't even know what the title is. Something
scariest,
like that.
Funniest. That's so we'll do. Yeah, we're gonna do a little list. Everybody loves lists. Get you some clicks,
listeners.
Baby.
Think about your scariest and funniest moments of the Trump administration. Maybe they'll be ours.
Yeah, that's right.
Feel free to share those moments with us through the rating form on iTunes. you can just give us a 5-star rating and then write your experience in the comment section. That's the best place
and,
to put
and
that.
And we
yeah,
will
don't,
read...
don't, but don't do a 1-star. I don't want to hear your opinion if you put a 1-star, only if you put a 5-star.
We'll read on air all of the 5 or maybe 4 stars. Maybe 4 stars. Definitely the 5 stars.
It's got to be a good 4-star.
Yeah, you know, it's got to be detailed. Like, there's got to be a lot of words.
But send us your horror experience via 5- and 4-star rating. Please.
Or funniest. Or funniest. Well, I don't want to say one because it, you know.
Yeah. Don't start giving away your thoughts already.
I was going to say one that I'm not going to use that I think is a good example, but somebody else might use it, so I don't want to blow your cover. It's not exactly the right metaphor.
How about this one? This isn't one that I'm going to do, but I've seen it on Seth Meyers a few times, is the video of Donald Trump just walking around the White House lawn, like not knowing what to do with himself, just kind of like staring off into space. He's waiting for someone to tell him what to do.
Is that the origin of the meme where he's like leaning forward over the kid who's mowing the lawn, and the meme is like some version of him yelling at people in a stupid way?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's fantastic. Nah.
Well, if a Retropod isn't enough to get you excited for next week, consider that we will be doing that episode with cocktails in hand, and there may even be some gambling involved. So,
gambling?
If that doesn't get you going.
What are we gambling?
Yeah, we're putting money
past that already happened?
Well, because this is a lost episode, John, we're going to be
going back and forth through time?
Yeah, so...
Okay, you know. But the question is, are we observing the past, or are we like agents in the past? And if we are agents, if we are agents, then can we change the future? And therefore, doesn't that kind of like deconstruct the game and causality and create this kind of like problem?
All right, enough.
I think you answered
your rabbit hole science fiction questions.
Yeah. I think you answered your own question.
Each one of these things create a multiverse.
Yes, either that, or also you can't do time travel except for the point where you start, and we haven't started time traveling yet, as far as we know. But maybe we'll find out. We'll discover the time travel started before
on the next episode.
But if you go back in time from where you stand now, going backwards in time would be in your future. Even if you went backwards in your timeline, in your current timeline, right? And so...
That's correct. But conceivably, you could meet yourself in the past. Anyways, and change the course of that. Anyways...
But that would have already happened because... Anyway.
Well, that is the question. That's where the multiverse theory comes in.
That's a classic paradox. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a classic time travel paradox.
So, I think that our listeners might be more interested in that there might be guests next time also.
Yes.
There might be guests. Mm-hmm.
Party guests
during the party.
That's right. So stay tuned, y'all. Stay tuned. Thanks for joining us here on the Ameri Podcast.
Yeah, thanks for listening through 99.
We appreciate your tenure.
99.
We appreciate your cheerful reviews. Thanks. It's because of you that we're still here. No joke.
It's true.
So, sweet merch. Sweet merch for the new year. New president. New year. New merch.
New merch.
New pod.
Triple digits. Remember. Come prepared next time. Mm-hmm. We're bringing it.
That's right.
All right. Godspeed, everybody. Wayne Gretzky was really fucking good at hockey.
God damn it, John.
Yeah.
Wow.